And you might want to turn with me. We're going to finish up where I left off last week. You might want to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17. Praise the Lord. And while you're doing that, I'm just going to make one comment from the first week of this. We're talking about the, can you see that? Following the will of God, following the will of God. And I made the comment at the very beginning, never has it been more important for us to be free from everything that's bound us. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen the picture before, but let me give you a picture from the New Testament. The picture is Lazarus coming out of the tomb. That's a picture of the church. I'm going to say it again. That's the picture of the church. Lazarus has been raised from the dead. We've been raised from the dead. But Lazarus still got his grave clothes on. And he's got to get those grave clothes off because they stink. That's a picture of the church because whether you know it or not, we still have grave clothes. That's the part of that's the part of our thinking that needs to be changed, and the part of our actions that need to be changed. We don't always look as pretty as we do on Sunday morning, do we? No, we don't. We don't. And so never has it been more important for us to be free from everything that's bound us in the past. It's never has it been so crucial for us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Everybody say sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Sensitive to His leading. Because for each of us to follow the plan of God for our lives, we're going to have to hear and understand and know when we're hearing from the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's time for us to shape up. Amen. It's time to get serious about serving Jesus. It's time to begin to pray again. And I don't know if you're praying for it or not. I'm just going to say it how I heard it. It's time for you to pray again that the will of God be accomplished in your life. One of the things that Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." That was to be a daily prayer. Are you praying that kind of prayer? Lord, I want your will in my life. I'm tired of making my own messes. Are you tired of making messes? I'm tired of messes. I've had too many of them in my life. I don't like them. I don't like what it means. I don't like it when I hurt people. Do you like it when you hurt people? I don't know anybody that likes it when they hurt people. Never has it been more important for us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that we can follow Him in God's plan for our life. God's plan is 1,000 times better than your plan. You know why? He's smarter than you. He's gooder than you. Amen. I know that's not good English, but it's good preaching nonetheless. Never has it been more important for you to become sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And all the excuses and all the reasons that we give for why we're dull in the things of God, they're useless. And they're not profitable for you. And so it's time to shape up. Look at your neighbor and say, shape up. Amen. Amen. Time to shape up. This is a new year. We can start things right now again. Amen. Amen. Now, if you're there in Proverbs 20, I want you to notice in Proverbs 20, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. I shared this scripture last week, and I shared an experience that I had as a young Christian. And I'm sitting and I'm watching this television program at 5:30 in the morning, and there's this old man. He was probably about my same age now. There was this old man. I mean, he looked old. He had white hair. I guess I don't have white hair yet. My little brothers beat me in that. He's got this Bible in his hand, and I'm a new Christian, and I'm excited about the things of the Lord. He's got a Bible. It must be good. So I turn it up, and as I'm doing it, I don't think I listened 2 minutes, and I and I and I heard, this is what I heard. That's Herbert W. Armstrong. And then, I mean, like the TV was listening to the Lord, all of a sudden, at the bottom of the screen, Herbert Armstrong. Man, it had my full attention, you know. Joshua Scott, every hair on my body's going, woo! I've got, the Lord's got my full attention. And so I'm listening, and I turn up the TV, you know, and the Lord said, and he's false. I turned that TV off that quick. I turned that TV. Now, here's a young Christian. I just spirit filled, and hungry for the things of the Lord, and wide open. And it's dangerous to be wide open, don't you know? And then I shared another experience at Rhema Bible Training Center. Rhema Bible Training Center. Yeah. And someone shows up and hands me this book. And when I touched the book, I knew in my knower, no, don't take the book. And I'm kind of waiting for, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to be offensive to people. I don't want to do what I've watched some people do. You know, some people just get right in the face and say, that's a false book. You're going to hell for reading that book. I don't want to do that, you know. Here this guy is. He don't know me from Adam, and he's wanting to share something he's real excited about, you know. And nor do I want to judge him, you know. I'm not here to judge anybody. But for me, I heard no. And then I heard these words. Just thanking, but tell him you've got plenty of reading material right now. That was a wise answer. Yeah. Plenty of reading material right now. Well, I think about that. I think about that in light of, now you kids have never heard of this name, Jim Jones. Now see, some people have already, but see, in my generation, there was a charismatic, when I say charismatic, I'm not in the sense that we're charismatic, we believe in the Holy Spirit and all this, but this man had some signs and wonders that were following him around, and he drew a huge group of people, and he became their God. And he led them in the wrong direction. I think about that a lot. I think about the fact that one of the signs of the end days is there are going to be many that come in Christ's name preaching all kinds of stuff. Jesus said there would be. And they were false prophets. Isn't that something? Never has it been more important for us to hear from the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I think about this. I think about the fact that I'm celebrating 42 years with this lady right here. The 5th of January, 42 years ago, we were married. And she still loves me, and I still love her. She likes to be around me. You know, you don't always see that with couples that have been 42 years together. Yeah. What's the secret? I'll tell you, the secret is listening to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because there was a time, some of you know, there was a time when we were at our wits' end with each other. I know Joshua finds that hard to believe, but Elaine and I, we were knocking heads. You ever knocked heads with? Never mind. I look back on those days, and I think about the radio show the Bickersons. Mm-hmm. Now that's an old radio show that was in my parents' generation, but they were fighting all the time. You know, Elaine and I, we fought at the drop of a hat, and then we find out we were arguing the same points. We just weren't listening to each other. We were arguing, but we weren't listening. Yeah. How did you get out of that? It's the Holy Ghost. He led us out of it. Glory be to God. Amen. And so it is really important. Here's the scripture verse. It says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. That means God is going to enlighten you by your spirit. Amen? He's going to lead you by your spirit. But the problem is most of us don't know what that means and what that looks like when he's trying to lead us. And as a result, we go through life sometimes falling over things that we wish we'd never fallen for. Hello, anyone out there? And bouncing into walls and off of walls and off of each other, and our life doesn't look like it's being too well planned out. And the truth is because God's trying to lead us and we're not listening, we got a hold of the reins and we're driving. Well, I've had enough wrecks in my life. I don't want any more. Amen. Amen. Jesus, I don't want you as my co-pilot. Thank you. I don't want you as my co-pilot. Amen. You got the reins, Lord. You got the reins. Amen. You lead me. I'll do what you tell me to do. Yeah. That's when things begin to change for the better in our lives. Praise the Lord. So we've been looking at what it means to be led by the Spirit. And the first thing we've got to find out and understand is this issue of heart, what the Bible calls the heart. And I shared, now see, I'm just recapping for those that weren't here last week because it's important for them to be on the same page. I shared an Old Testament verse from Chronicles 12, verse 16. I'll just go ahead and read it. This is talking about David, and when David was running from Saul, I'm reading from the 16th verse. Then some of the sons of Benjamin and Judah came to David at the stronghold, and David went out to meet them, and answered and said, "If you've come peaceably to me to help me, my heart will be united with you. But if you betray me to my enemies, since there's no wrong in my hands, may the God of our fathers look and bring judgment." Now here the Bible is not talking about the flesh pump that's inside of our chest, beating and moving blood through all the course of our veins here. He's not talking about anything physical here at all. But he is talking about something. He is talking about something that every one of us understand when we deal with issues like the love of mother to child, heart, with all my heart. I think of that movie Little Women, and there's Mr. Bear, and he's brought the book to the girl, to Joe, and he says in the pouring rain, he talks about how wonderful this little person Joe is, you know, and he said I have nothing to bring you except my love, and will you have me? And she says, with all my heart. What does that mean? Is that talking about the blood pump? No, that's not talking. That means to the very center of my being. You have me to the very center of my being. Amen. That's what David is talking about here. My heart will be united. He's talking about the center of his being here. So we're not talking about something natural here. We're talking about something that's not physical at all. And we found out last week that when God breathed the nature into that squeezed mud ball on that first day, what he put into that squeezed mud ball was spirit. You are a spirit. Amen. You're the real you is not physical at all. That's why the day that you fly, the day that you drop your body like you drop a coat or a dress, you will still be a person. You will still have the same sense that you have within you. Amen. You'll be transcended from this earth. Glory to God. You are a spirit. Amen. Let's go to the New Testament. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23, it says, here's Jesus. I tell you the truth that you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. Again, Jesus is not talking about your flesh pump, your body pump that pumps that physical organ that moves the blood, but he's talking about the center of your being, the center of your being. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, everybody knows this verse. The message is close at hand. It's on your lips. It's in your heart. And that's the message. That's the very message about faith which we preach. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is believing in your heart that you're made right with God. Did you hear that? It's a believing in your heart. Now, he's not talking about the flesh pump. He's not talking about that thing in your chest that's beating your blood around so that you can live physically. He's talking about the very center of your being. Amen. It's spiritual. Everyone say spiritual. The Apostle Paul talked about the inward man. Peter talked about the hidden man of the heart. I want to refer to that. That's in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. I'm just recapping here and reminding you of who you are. Who you are is not the flesh part of you. Now, I could slap Michael, but the truth is I can only slap his body. Yeah. Yeah. We say, this is Michael. No, this is the house that Michael lives in. That's the house that Michael lives in. The real Michael, he's spirit. He's created in the image and the likeness of Jesus himself. Amen. Praise the Lord. He has a soul. He possesses a soul. Yeah. And he lives in a body. Now, that kind of thinking will help you because it's real dangerous to live after the body. The body don't want the right things. It's real dangerous to live after your emotions. Now, I love emotions. I love it. I love it when this love, this sense of love flows out of me to people, you know. I love that. I love the fact that, you know, the kids growing up here, man, I just love them, and I'm attached to them. My emotions are attached. But you know what? That can also be a dangerous thing. Hello? See, we've told our teenagers for years, you spend too much time with the young man, with the young girl, you're going to get emotionally attached. May not even be the right person for you. But you're going to get attached because there's a natural flow when you spend lots of time with somebody. There's a natural flow. Yeah. And so what I'm saying is live by your spirit. Yeah. Put your spirit nature first. Your emotions will draw you in wrong directions. Your flesh will draw you in wrong directions. Amen. Amen. They will. Now, are you there in 1 Peter chapter 3? Notice it says, let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. I want to read that again. Which in the sight of God is a great price, is of great price. What's a great price? It is the It is the hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. Now here, let me give you a word picture. You know, the Bible is full of word pictures, and most people don't even pay attention to them. But I want to give you a word picture. The word picture is of Jacob wrestling the angel. Anybody here remember your Bible story about Jacob wrestling the angel? I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not, but every one of us have wrestled with God. Some of us right now are wrestling with God. It's not a good thing. God doesn't love it when we wrestle with Him. Yeah, God, it looks like this. God wants you to do something and you don't want to do it. Yeah. I said to you before, I'm not doing anything that I ever wanted to do. Sat and talked to Samuel Luke about that not very long ago. Right now, as pastor, I never wanted to pastor. That's too much responsibility. I don't want to be in charge of anybody else's life. I don't want to have to give account. I never chose it. You know what I chose? I was a siding man. I was in the construction industry, and I was good at it. And I built a good reputation and a good name in it. And right in the middle of all that, God said, I want you. And I didn't want to do it. Did you wrestle with God? Well, at first I did. Are you sure? I wrestled with God about Bible school. Go to a Bible school. Are you sure? Talking to God about, are you sure? Yeah. Bible school. Yeah. I was wrestling. Those weren't fun days. There were some sleepless nights. I can remember the first time I saw the vision of the little church over there. I saw it built and finished. And I never told Elaine. You want to know why I never told Elaine? Because I knew what that meant, and I didn't want to do it. I didn't say a word for a while. Yeah. But you know what? The truth of the matter is I'm not smart enough to direct my life. And I'm not good enough to direct my life. And neither are you. And so we have to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. A meek and a quiet spirit. A meek and a quiet spirit is a person who's quit fighting with God. And there's an eternal yea and amen on the inside of them. Every time they hear the word, there's an eternal yea and amen. When I hear the word of God, now for the most part, now every once in a while, there'll be a word slip out there and I'll say, God, what is that? It's a new word for me, you know. And I have to walk through it. I have to process it, you know. Yeah. And sometimes the Lord has spoken things and I just kind of put them on a shelf. Now, God, I don't understand that. And that's a new thought for me. So I'm going to put it on this shelf and I'm not even going to touch it until you give me more understanding of it. Yeah. He'll do that from time to time. But for the most part, there's an eternal yea and amen to the Word of God. I desire that my life be a blessing to the kingdom of God. I don't want to die without bringing someone to heaven with me. I don't want my life just to be some natural life and then 100 years from now, nobody ever knows I existed. I want my life to count for something more important than me. Amen. Amen. And you know who put that in me? Father God. Amen. That's a meek and a quiet spirit. Amen. Now, the second thing that's related to that is this being quick to repent. Now, see, I'm still recapping. We haven't gone into new territory yet. We will in a minute. But ask yourself this question. When you're confronted and when you see that you're wrong, do you still fight? Do you still defend yourself? Or are you quick to repent? See, what God loves is that heart, that meek and quiet spirit that's quick to repent and quick to obey God. Amen. And when you see a person like that, you can write it down. You can write it down. This is one of those people that God dearly loves. Let me read it again because it says something here about God. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, that which is not corruptible, even a meek ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. You want to know why it's a great price? Because there's been a lot of developing going on in that heart. It don't happen by accident. There's been a lot of work that God's done. Amen. I've had these talks with Pastor Potts before. We were really privileged to sit at the feet of some great generals of the faith. And I think about that fact a lot. And then I get thinking about the fact that God has spent a lot of time on me. Greg, God has spent a lot of time on you. I remember it was about 15 years ago. We were at Rhema. We were going to one of the, I think it was the same time when I pulled up and I slammed on my brakes and said, "Get out." Remember? Yeah. Because I was going to go park. I wanted them to get a seat, and I was a little abrupt. What was that? Oh, is that what it was? There was traffic? Yeah. And so I, "Get out." At any rate, during one of those afternoons, we were walking toward the little river that goes through, yeah, the park, the Rhema Park, and I was talking to the director at the time of the Bible school, which was Marvin Yoder, and Marvin saw Greg, and he said, "Man, he's come a long way." Yeah, you know, I think Jesus and God talks about that, talks to each other like that about us. Man, he's come a long way. And I could just almost hear the Lord say, or Jesus say, "Yeah, but we've had to put in a lot of work on them, you know." Yeah. Still a long way to go. That's exactly right. Still a long way to go. Meek and a quiet spirit. It's very costly when you see someone like that. Praise the Lord. But that's what we're striving for. Every one of us. That's what we're striving for. Praise the Lord. A meek and a quiet spirit. Now, that is our inward man. You are a spirit. You possess a soul. That's your emotional. That's actually, if you look in Hebrews, it talks about dividing soul and spirit, the joints and the marrows, the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And then Peter talks about this hidden man of the heart. The hidden man of the heart is our spirit. That's the part of us we can't see. Now I can see Elizabeth right there. But now there's the outward Elizabeth and there's the inward Elizabeth. And if I could say it this way, in Elizabeth's inward person, there's two areas. One is hidden, that's her spirit, and one not so hidden. Can you tell me on the inside, Elizabeth, what's the part of her that's not hidden from anybody? Can anybody tell me? It's not a trick question. Well, yeah, it's the soul, but in particular, we say her personality. I mean, she is distinctly different than her brothers. Yeah. Yeah. And I really enjoy watching those differences and this little orneriness that she has, you know. I just think it's wonderful. I don't think her brothers think it's so wonderful at all. But see, that's the unhidden part of her soul. Everybody sees that. We get to know Elizabeth. We like Elizabeth, you know. And those are the little things of her personality that make her to us. But that's not her spirit. That's her soulish makeup. As a pastor, I also get to see a little deeper into the soulish. Sometimes I can see a little will that's not ready to accept what God wants. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. So we're talking about the hidden man of the heart. Your spirit, your inward man, is comprised of spirit and soul. Spirit and soul. When you leave this earth and you go to be with the Lord, your soul is going to be with your spirit. Yeah. That's what makes you you. And we'll be able to recognize one another. Amen. You'll know Danielle and you'll know Kaylin up there because they'll still be irritating one another. Yeah. Their little souls are going to be with them. Now, we're talking about the supernatural side of us. Now let's go ahead and start wading into the new territory. In Romans chapter 14, we also read this verse. And we're going to be talking about the fact that we have to learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. We have to learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now that term sons of God denotes maturity. So being led by the Spirit of God is going to happen as we mature in the Lord. And you find somebody that's being led by the Spirit of God, again, you're talking about somebody that's been developed spiritually. Praise the Lord. And that's the goal for every one of us. The goal for us is to become a mature believer in Jesus Christ. What does that look like? It looks like someone being led by the Spirit rather than their own flesh and rather than their own emotions. They judge whether they're to go one direction or another. Their judgment has to do solely with the leading of the Spirit and has very little to do with what they think about it. And they judge things not by what they think about it. They judge things by what the Word of God has said to them. That's a mature believer, by the way. And that's the goal for every one of us. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, Brother Hagin said this. He said, every child of God can learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. And God's richest blessings await those who follow His Spirit instead of being directed only by their senses and their circumstances. But in order for that to be, you will have to consecrate yourself to the plan of God for your life instead of following after a plan of your own making. The plans of your own making. Learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's of primary importance if you're going to obey God. And if you can't discern what the Lord is saying to your spirit, you'll have a difficult time following Him. You have a difficult time finding His plan and purpose for your life. It's just that simple. Amen. I agree with that. So we're going to look at, probably for the next couple of Sundays, how can we discern the leading of the Lord? And of course, first of all, we've already dealt with that. But first of all, we've got to understand that God contacts us through our spirit, not our soul. God contacts us through our spirit, not our body. You see, God's not a physical being. He is a spirit. Jesus said he was a spirit. Amen. And so he doesn't respond to the call of our fleshly nature. When I think of that call of the fleshly nature, right now we've got this new little kitty, you know, and we haven't got her fixed yet. And she's in heat right now. I'm telling her little fleshly nature right now, oh my goodness. And she'll sing a song. Elaine's going to hit me for this, but I'm going to sing it to you. This is the song she's singing right now. I'm in the mood for love. She's a singing that song. You know what? Now, as much as we laugh, we see the same thing happening to our young people. Hello? Yeah. And see, I'm reminded of that because that's the way of the flesh. Yeah, that's the way of the flesh. Yeah, that's why I've always told our young people. Thank you, Jess. That's why I've always told our young people, you can't afford to be led by your flesh. Your flesh will lead you in the wrong way. Amen. God's not a physical being, so he's not going to lead us through our flesh. He's going to lead us through our spirit. Amen. And he's not a mind. He doesn't respond to the call of our intellect or our emotions. Yeah. You know, you can say to the Lord, don't you understand what I feel? Well, the truth is, no. Because you're talking about some natural feeling. You're talking about some flesh feeling or some emotional trauma or turmoil. God responds to word and spirit. That's how he responds. He responds to word and spirit. And so the truth is, you know, we miss it when we try to reach God through our mind and our feelings. And we'll do things like, oh, I can feel the presence of the Lord when I pray. Or we go, I don't feel the presence of the Lord. And we can miss it. If when we say feelings, we're talking about emotion. Yeah. Really, what we actually need to do is we need to crucify our flesh and renew our mind to the Word of God and get quiet on the inside of us and seek the Lord in prayer. And then we'll find the Holy Spirit responding to our spirit. God is a spirit. He's a divine personality. And man is a spirit. You are a spirit. Amen. And you possess a soul, or should possess it. Don't let it possess you. Amen. Amen. And of course, you live in this body. Amen. And so the spirit of man, or the inward man, the internal part of us, that's the part of us, this heart, which is soul and spirit, makes us a person if I could say it this way, color and personality. We see by getting to know a person better, and we can see what's spirit, and we can see if you're tuned into it, you can see what's going on that's spiritual and what's going on that's soulish. Amen. Now the Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And the Bible also here tells us that God's not going to communicate with us through our mind and our body. He's going to communicate to us in the Spirit. And we can expect the Holy Spirit to guide us, because as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. I want you to notice here in this verse of Scripture, it doesn't say as many as are led by mind and flesh. Yeah. Now here's where we have to be wise as Christians and harmless as doves. Wise and yet harmless. Most of the training that goes on in our young people to bring them to maturity has to do with their intellect. Most of it. But a wise Christian parent will understand that they're more than a mind and they're more than a body. Yes, we need to teach them to discipline themselves physically so that, you know, for example, that our kids can sit still and listen to teaching and don't have to have some gizmo gadget or crayon, coloring book or some toy. Yeah, of course we need to teach a physical discipline. We also need to teach a mental discipline. There are things that we think and there are things that we will not think on. Amen, praise the Lord. But a wise Christian parent also teaches children about the things of the Spirit. Yeah, and most of the times those are caught in your everyday life and how you lean when there's a crisis going on, praise the Lord, or you get frustrated in what you do, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Again, notice that it says that many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Notice it doesn't say those that are led by prophets or someone telling them what to do. And now I'll say this, it is wonderful to seek wise counsel from someone that you respect spiritually, but don't expect to receive guidance from out there. Expect to receive guidance from in here. Amen. Now, how does the Holy Spirit lead us? How does the Holy Spirit lead us? First and foremost, the Holy Spirit leads us through the inward witness, the inward witness. Romans 8 and 16 talks about this inward witness. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. I just said a few minutes ago, it's the internal yea and amen to the will of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. We can be so moved internally by the word that you're just going to bust if you don't shout. You're just going to bust if you don't praise God. Amen. What's going on? That's your spirit getting filled up, getting strengthened. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, this spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. That's how we knew when we were born again. Not because somebody prophesied over us or some person told you, in my opinion, you're a Christian. No, you know you're a child of God because there's someone bearing witness that we are the children of God. How many children of God do we have here? Yeah. Now, how do you know? Well, someone said it this way. Well, I have a knowing in my knower. I know that I know that I know that I know that Jesus is in me. Does anybody have a knowing in their knower? Now, see, that's the Spirit bearing witness that we're the children of God. Pastor Potts used to always call it, I have a know-so salvation. I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. I have a know-so salvation. I like that. The inward witness is the way that the Holy Spirit guides us. And think about this. If he guides us in the most important event that could ever happen to us, which is the new birth, isn't it logical? Isn't it logical that the inward witness would be the primary way that he guides us and leads us? Amen. Rebecca said, well, what if they don't accept me? I said, they'll accept you. It's a done deal. Didn't I? It's a done deal. Well, how could I say that? I know that I know that I know. There are things that I know about Joshua Scott. And it's a done deal. Now, I'm not seeing it all yet with my eye, but it's done nonetheless. Amen. Yeah. I got a know-so. I got a witness in my heart about certain things. I've got a witness in my heart about a little Miss Christine. A no-so. What is that? That is the voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside of our spirit. Amen. Sometimes it's difficult to explain to another person just how you know something, but it's just a no-so on the inside. I know this. Yeah. And it's not a physical feeling. It's a spiritual sense. The Apostle Paul used this word in Acts chapter 27. He said, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage." I perceive. Yeah. He didn't say the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He didn't say I had a vision. He just said, I perceive. He had an inward witness, a spiritual perception. And his spirit picked up on that knowledge that came from the Holy Spirit. There are things you know more spiritually than you do mentally. I'm going to say it again. You know more spiritually. Yeah, if you're perceptive, you do. Because we're hooked up with somebody that has all knowledge. Now, I don't have all knowledge, but I'm hooked up to one that does have all knowledge. And there are times in the midst of prayer, all of a sudden, this knowing comes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Who is that? It's the Holy Ghost. I think we'll take just enough time to hit the second one. Turn with me to 2 Kings. So we have the inward witness. The second way that the Holy Spirit, 2 Kings chapter 19, the second way that the Holy Spirit speaks to us is through the inward voice. Now, we have a knowing, but we also have an inward voice. Amen. We'll have an inward voice, this truth that's speaking on the inside of us. All right, in 2 Kings, let me get there real quick. Chapter 19, and verse 13. 2 Kings chapter 19, and verse, is that right? 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 13. Let me see. Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad and the king of the city of Seraphim? And Hezekiah received a letter at the hand. This is Hezekiah's prayer, by the way. And he read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, "O Lord God of Israel, which dwell between the cherubs." You know what? I said second, didn't I? Did I write that? No. Thank you, Lord. We better go to 1 Kings 19. I could say, that's not it. There it is, right there. Yeah. "And it was so." That's much better. Thank you. "When Elijah heard it, and he wrapped his face in his mantle." I better go to verse 12. "After the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a what? A still small voice." A still small voice. "And when he heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, 'What doest thou here, Elijah?'" What doest thou here, Elijah? The second way that the Holy Spirit leads us is through this inward voice. It's called the still small voice. Did you know that your inward man has a voice? Amen. Inward man has a voice. Praise the Lord. Just like your outward man has a voice. And you can be so connected, so sensitive, that's a better word, so sensitive that inward voice speaks louder than the outward voice. Amen. I like that when that happens. That voice of your spirit is called the conscience. You don't hear the inward voice of your inward man with physical ears like you do the voice of the outward man. You hear the voice of the inward man on the inside in your spirit. Your spirit will speak to you by the small voice of your conscience and pass on to your mind information that he receives from within. Your conscience. Brother Hagin always said about the conscience, he said, be quick to obey your conscience. And he said, here's the problem for all of us. When we disobey our conscience, we little by little sear it so that it's not reliable. So he said, the best thing that you can do in your spiritual walk is, to the very best of your ability, when your conscience is telling you to do something, obey it. Obey the voice of your conscience. Amen. It's the still small voice. Now, we've looked at two things. We've looked at the still small voice, and we looked at the inward witness. That's not the only way that the Lord, but that's all the time we have. All right. Next week, we're going to talk about the voice of the Holy Spirit, much more authoritative. Man, I want to get into that. But say it out loud. Thank you, Lord. That you lead us. You don't just lead the people in the Bible, but you lead us by your Spirit and our inward man. And thank you, Lord, for causing me to become more sensitive to your leadership in my life. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.